Good evening. Greet you in the name of Jesus, and also bring greetings to you from Harmony Christian Fellowship. Been at this church building quite often, but maybe not quite in this way before. Hold congregation together like this, so have maybe opportunity to get to know some of you in a more personal way than what we had been able to in the past. I was not able to bring my family along. I was hoping they would join me here at the weekend. There was a ride for them out here, but that fell apart, so I'll probably be here by myself for the weekend here. But I thought it might be good to introduce my family to you. My wife and I are married. My wife, Jean, myself are married for 33 years. August is 33 years. We have 9 children. Our oldest, Roseanne, is married to Alex Hansen. They're in Wisconsin. They go to Gospel Light. They have 6 children. Second born is a son. He's in West Virginia, part of of Shinston Christian Fellowship, an outreach of Shippensburg and St. Thomas. They have 3 boys, expecting another one here in a few months. Our third born is a daughter. She's married to Jesse Weber. They live in our community there, come to our congregation. They have 4 children. Son Josiah, fourth born, him and his wife, they're expecting a baby here in just a few months also. Be their first one. Our fifth born is a daughter. She's married to Justin Burkholder. And they're in the congregation Emmanuel Christian Brotherhood. That's Rome, Pennsylvania. A congregation where we send a number of families. And the families weren't there long until the young man came back and asked for the hand of my daughter and moved her 3 hours away. And then we have a son who's getting married on December 31st, just a little over 2 weeks from today. So we're thankful for our children and our grandchildren. On my drive out here, we have about 9-hour drive. I did a lot of contemplating. My mind went back to 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was a young man, young father, married 3 years. And at that point, I didn't realize that I was on a collision course in my life. God had been stirring in my heart. And I was searching, but I had no idea that I was on a collision course, a shore wreck. My wife, my dear wife, who we had just joined hands a number of years before, 3 years prior, I had, by my act and behavior, I was alienating her from me, breaking trust. I was supposed to be the provider and protector, and I was anything but that. I had 2 little children at that point, growing up, innocent little children, that my behavior was certainly going to destroy them. Exactly, December, 30 years ago. God was closing every door. And in December of 1992, we walked through the doors of a church, not realizing that in the next 2 years, God was going to send a revival. At that point, I didn't realize I was on a collision course, to make a shore wreck out of my life. And as I pondered that on the way out here today, and thought of my dear precious wife, and thought of my children, and where it could be today, I have wept today like I have not for a long time. And I go back to those years of revival. Amazing. Amazing what God did. I had a mountain ahead of me. I had made such a mess out of my life. I had so many deep bondages in my life that it was almost like when that revival came and I repented and I found new hope, it was like this mountain ahead of me that I needed to scale. I needed to pull my children and my wife to safety. It was a mountain to climb. It didn't happen all in those times of revival. It was an ongoing work of God. My children were growing up around me. And because of my behavior, my children would come in from the barn and they would complain to their mother about my behavior. I had been on a clear course of collision. But thankfully, through that revival and that continual work of God in my heart, my younger children don't remember it. They don't remember it. But you know, the damage followed a long time. There are still times where if I respond, just depends how I respond to my wife, she gets flashbacks. I'm going to talk about revival tonight, especially revival in the home. There was another situation that is just so much more unfortunate. A brother I was very close to, 10 children, and everything looked like it should have been. But most of us did not know. Children were in their teen years. And they began to resist their parents. And we had kind of questioned that. Children went undercover and connected with people out from under their parents. And when that all finally became exposed, this dear brother came face to face with reality. And he repented and he cried. And he wept like not many men I've seen. And you know, you say as long as there's life, there's hope. But I must say that the damage was done. He had hit his collision. And the damage was done. And I'm afraid that it'll never be the same. Repentance, revival, Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It almost seems like there's these waves of revival in our lives. Refreshing simply means a recovery of breath. A revival. History will tell us that God's people go through periods of spiritual renewal. Periods of decline. We might think of them as waves and troughs or mountains and valleys. It could be in our personal lives. It could be in our corporate life. It is probably inevitable. If only we could stay renewed. Probably all of you know the song, Revive Us Again. And in that song, it reminds me how God is very interested in getting our attention. And He goes to a lot of means to get it. I could spend a long time sharing with you tonight how I tried to pursue my own way there, the early first years of my marriage. But I can look back and clearly see that God was dictating things in my life to set me in a place where the revival fires would sweep across my soul. The song Revive Us Again was written by the words written by a Scottish medical doctor, W.A. McKay. And Mr. McKay had a dear mother. She was a godly, pious mother. She begged him numerous times as a teenager to get born again. She prayed a lot for him. He went on with his life. And as a doctor, one day, a man was brought in that had fallen from quite a height. And Mr. McKay said, there's really no hope for the man. Let's just make him comfortable until he passes. This man was friendless in the world, and as the reality of his life probably being snatched away from him, he realized it. He asked for one thing. He wished to see his landlady. He owed her a small fee, and he wished to bid her farewell. Also, he wanted to ask her to bring along the book. What book? The doctor questioned. Oh, just ask her for the book. She'll know what the book is. After a week of suffering, he died. No family. So the nurse questioned the doctor what to do with his few belongings. And what about this? The nurse said, holding forth the little black book. The doctor took it, and he wasn't sure that he could trust his eyes. Was this his Bible? He opened up the front cover, and sure enough, the neat handwriting of his mother, his name was still in it. His Bible had been given to him when he left home. He was a little short in money, and he sold the Bible. That Bible made a full circle. Back to Mr. McKay. The regaining of his Bible was the cause of his conversion. It was after that he wrote the song, Revive Us Again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Or revive us again. It's amazing how God orchestrates our lives in such a precise way. He loves us that much. He loves us that much. The dear brother I was talking to this week. And he said, Leonard, how can we be sure that there's not skeletons in the closet of our people? How can we be sure that there's not skeletons in the closet of our people? I said to him, I wonder the same thing. To me, it is terribly frightening. The realization of how many, just in the last year, how many of our men have not been faithful to their wives? They went out and in some form or another committed adultery. How many men do I know of? It is startling. It is frightening. And so this brother's asking, how do we know that there's no skeletons hiding in the closets of our people? And so tonight, we're going to talk about revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin heal their land. We need forgiveness. We need our land healed. Don't we need our land healed? But it's possible. God's provisions have made it possible. Colossians 1. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Unblameable. Present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That's the work of Christ in our lives. Do it again. Revive us again. Hallelujah. Amen. Do it again, Lord. Unblameable. That's an amazing word. Unblameable. It says about the elder that the elder is not to be blamed. This word unblameable simply means that if you were going to, it's calling for a delegation of men, a delegation of people who will go out and do the research. So if I am unblameable, you could send a group of people and they would go and they would talk to my wife. They would talk to my children. They would talk to my neighbors. They would talk to the clerk at the convenience store where I stop. Talk to the owner of the hardware store, and they would come back and say, a clear record. It's saying, God is able to do that. God is able to do that. Make us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. It is possible. Marriages where there is good, healthy, happy relationships where the challenges are few and far between, and there's a true mutual care, love rules the day, and kindness is the norm. Folks, it is possible. It is possible to have parent and child relationships that are good. Love flows freely. There's honesty and there's openness. It is possible for parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and children to trust and give themselves in openness and obedience. It is possible. Where does revival start? Revival starts with taking personal responsibility. We don't look at our husband, we don't look at our wife, we don't look at our neighbor. Revival starts with taking personal responsibility. Gypsy Smith was asked how to start revival. And he said this: lock yourself in a private room. Take a piece of chalk and mark a circle on the floor. Get down on your knees inside the circle and pray that God starts a revival in the circle. When this prayer has been answered, revival will be on. He went on to say, if all the sleeping folks will wake up, and if all the lukewarm folks will fire up, and all the dishonest folks will confess up, and all the disgruntled folks will sweeten up, and all the discouraged folks will look up, and all the estranged folks will make up, and all the gossipers will shut up, and all the dry bones will shake up, and all the true soldiers will stand up, and all the church members will pray up, then we shall have revival. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And today, this evening, we're going to take our sermon out of just three verses in Matthew chapter 14. And it is the last three verses of the chapter. Matthew 14, 34 to 36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That account is most challenging. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him. The meaning of this verse is broader than only that they knew of him. They also knew what he was capable of doing. And because they had knowledge of him, they went through all the coasts. What does it say? Sent out throughout into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They had knowledge of him. They knew what he was capable of doing. It said they only begged to touch the hem of his garment. Had they heard about the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, her sickness, that quietly and without wanting to make a scene, she came and touched the hem of his garment and he was healed. These people went throughout all the country, bringing in those that were diseased. And they just asked, oh, we just want to touch the hem of your garment. I too want revival, but revival is not about making a scene. Revival is the quiet work of God in the heart of the believer, where he gets alone with God and quiets his heart before God and says, what is it, Lord? Perfectly whole. They were not satisfied. They wouldn't have been satisfied with partial healing. How about the blind men that came to Jesus? And Jesus touched them, asked them what they see. They saw men as trees, as men walking. It said Jesus touched them again and they were perfectly whole. God wants to come and touch us that we might know wholeness. So if you're here today and you cannot lift up holy hands, you cannot say that there is no known sin. It is possible to come and touch, as it were, the hem of his garment, and you can be perfectly whole. If you're here this evening and you cannot say, I have loved, I have blessed, and I have ministered the love of Christ to those around me, it is possible, as it were, to touch the hem of his garment and to be healed. If you're here this evening and you cannot say, I'm kind. God has made me kind. God has made me loving. God has made me patient. I have been, as it were, Christ to those around me. We need but, as it were, to touch the hem of his garment. If you're here this evening and you cannot say, I've stood for truth. I love the truth. I obey the Bible. I have walked even as he has walked. It is possible, as it were, to touch the hem of his garment and be made perfectly whole. I'd like to consider this evening a number of things as we think of God's work in our lives. The first thing I want to consider as we consider revival is the idea of blindness. We know that in Matthew, Jesus taught us that. It's easy to pick out the fault in other people. We pick at the little splinter in their eye when we have a big piece of wood in our eye. And it reminds us that it is very natural for us to not be able to see ourselves. In John 9:39 and to 41, it says, Jesus said, "For judgment I'm come into the world, that they which see not might see, they that which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, ye should have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." What is he saying? He said, "I've come to judge the world. I've come to give sight to the blind and to those who think they see to show them they're blind." He came to give sight to those who know they're blind and for those who think they see to show them they are blind. Revelation 3:17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." It is so easy to see the faults in other people. It is so difficult to see our own faults. My wife will come and say to me, "I didn't care for the way you said that." And I respond, "What's wrong with what I said?" It's so hard to recognize the tone of the voice, the body language. They tell me that only a small percentage is communicated by words. A bigger percentage is communicated by tonal and by body language. It is so hard for us to see our own faults. And it's good for us to be able to go to those around us. Us to go to our spouses, children to parents, parents to their children, and ask the question, "What do you see in my life that doesn't please the Lord Jesus Christ? What is in my life that is not giving a beautiful image of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Go to each other and ask those questions. It's so hard to see ourselves. Sometimes hard for us to reckon with ourselves. I'll go to my wife and I'll ask her, "Just share with me one thing that I could work on." And then I normally cringe because I'm not sure if I really want to hear it. I know it's the right thing to do, but to really hear my faults is difficult. We tend to be inherently blind to our own challenges. Number two, we want to consider, where are we going for help? Where are we pointing people to get help? These people came to Jesus and they touched the hem of his garment and it says they were made perfectly whole. There is a place to go to have people help us sort through our issues, but it should only be to help us sort through our issues. We need to go to Jesus Christ. There are people running all over the place. There was a couple that we worked with numbers of years ago. They had marriage difficulties. I mean, marriage problems. It was so difficult. And it was all we could do to just keep that thing together. And one day, they went out of state for a special marriage seminar. They came back. They were so excited. the revival that God brought into their lives. And I was sitting there thinking, where have I been? Why couldn't God, why couldn't you help me to help them sort through their issues? That excitement lasted but 3 weeks. And within 3 or 4 months, they were separated. They were separated. Where are you going? It's at the feet of Jesus. They came and they but touched, they besought Him that they would but touch the hem of His garment. There is no better place to go than to go at the foot of the cross and open our hearts up in repentance. We probably all know the song, I Must Tell Jesus. That song was written by Elisha Hoffman. Elisha Hoffman was a minister, and for a while he was a minister in a city there local to where we live, numbers of years back before my time. And one night he was called out to a single lady. She had a number of children. Her children were not doing well. And she was called out, and Elisha sat there as she just opened up her heart and told him all about her struggles. And at the end of her sharing her struggles, Elisha didn't know what to say. He didn't have any answers. Every minister should have answers. He didn't have any answers. And as he pondered before the Lord, what shall he tell this dear sister with all of her struggles? He finally told her, sister, I don't know what else to tell you, but you need to tell Jesus. Elisha says it was quiet for a while. The lady was thinking. And all of a sudden, she burst forth with exuberance. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And he went home that night. And as he was laying in bed, this was continually ringing in his mind. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And so we have this song. Where are you going? I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, He will heal us. He has smitten, He will bind us up. After 2 days, will He revive us? In the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. I've become convinced that all of our counseling and all of our help will be futile unless we can bring people to a place of only beseeching that I might touch the hem of His garment. I've seen it over and over again where we have worked with married couples that they have problems. There's times I told my wife, this will be easy to fix. Only to find out it was a lot more complicated than what I reckoned. And so as you, it just seems, you don't get anywhere. You don't get anywhere. You don't get anywhere. You pray, you beg them, you encourage them. And so often, one day it's like the light bulb goes on. I'm convinced it's once they touch the hem of the garment. All the counseling, all the begging is futile unless we touch the hem of His garment. The Bible says they were made perfectly whole. I'm not satisfied to be partially seeing. I want to see perfectly. I'm not satisfied. Some of my deep bondages, it was like this great mountain above me when God visited with me with revival. And I felt that I needed to grab my wife and my children and we needed to climb this mountain to get away from the dangers. I was on a collision course. I wasn't satisfied. God's still working in my heart. Some of those bondages still working in my heart. Not a little better, not some better, not just surviving, not just being okay, but perfectly whole through and through. 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Some of us can dream big. The Bible says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I do not have to be the product of my circumstances. I do not have to be the product of my circumstances. God is able to make me an overcomer no matter where I am, no matter what my situation is. There is no excuse not to be completely, altogether whole. Even if my situation isn't ideal. It is possible. Luke chapter 6. I just think it's so amazing. The power of God in a believer's life. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. The couple that was having marriage problems, my wife and I sat down with them. And the first question I asked the man first. I said, do you have hope for this marriage? He says, yeah, I have hope for this marriage. I looked at the wife. I said, do you have hope for this marriage? She says, I don't. And I'm okay with it. I'll live the rest of my life the way it is. And I said, according to the Bible, you have one of two choices. Either you love your spouse with God's love. As a brother in Christ, you love him as a brother in Christ or you love him as an enemy. You have no other choice. You're either going to love him like a brother or you're going to love him like an enemy. The Bible says that if it's your enemy, do good to them. Pray for them. Bless them. Love your enemies. Today, they have a beautiful marriage. We have the power and grace of God to have that level of love that will even love the unlovely. There is no reason why love shouldn't be flowing in our homes. Because the love, the power of grace of God, the agape love that God gives us the ability to even love those that hate us. It's that powerful. How much more those of our own flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amazing. I am so amazed at the love of Christ. The Bible says there in John chapter 13 that Jesus loved his own and he loved them unto the end. That included Judas. That's the kind of love that God puts in the hearts of each individual. That kind of love. He loved them unto the end. For God so loved the world that he gave. Forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There was a sister that I got to know. And she had come to us one day and she had such a sad story of the condition of her husband and the condition of her children. But one of the things that I realized that in her heart there was unforgiveness and there was bitterness towards her husband, and it was spilling out on her children. And I told her, dear sister, right now, it's not about your husband and it's not about your children. Right now, unless you don't deal with, if you don't deal with your spirit, you're going to continue to be just like that woman that Proverbs says, plucking down your house with your own hands. I said, you need to get alone with God. You need to touch the hem of his garment and you need to be made perfectly whole. And once you're perfectly whole, then God can work in your family. A sister went home and it must have went quite a few months. One day I met her and I knew right away something's different. Something has happened. She was joyful. She was happy. She was confident. She was excited. She was excited about her family. And today, God is putting her family back together again. Some of the things that have happened in her home, it just looked like the whole family was going to fly to pieces. Today, God is working in the husband and in each one of the children and bringing that family back together. And I'm here to tell you, it's because this dear sister stopped looking at everyone else and she just touched the hem of his garment and was made perfectly whole. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Releasing that other person. It's okay. It's all right. Fourth thing we want to consider this evening is confession. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I got a call. Actually, there was a gentleman who stopped in at our house 2 days ago, talked to my wife. I wasn't home. He said, do you remember me? My wife said, no, I don't remember you. Well, 20 some years prior, we had rubbed shoulders for a little bit. She didn't remember him. He said, I wanted to talk to your husband. And so my wife gave him my phone number and he called. And he said, I know you probably don't remember me, but 20 years ago we met. He said, I have such serious spiritual problems. I need help. I said, come on over, we'll talk. And as he sat there and he spilled his story, I didn't know what to say. How do you help a person? One of the things I told him is that there's a promise in the Bible that if you confess your faults one to another, you're going to be healed. You came and you confessed your faults. I'm going to pray that God will heal you. Just that verbalization of our faults. Healing comes how? By telling others that we can pray one for another. We can be so slow at admitting our failures, admitting our personal struggles. There's power in confession, honesty and openness with where we're at. It's amazing. Mr. Moody had meetings back to back. As the folks were leaving the first meeting, folks were coming for the second meeting. As he was standing there, greeting the people as they were leaving, greeting the new people as they were coming, there was a man from the community that stepped up on the steps and really laid into Mr. Moody. And Moody left his temper get the best of him and took the man and shoved him down the steps that he fell. People that were watching who were coming to the service were like, he just blew it. This meeting has just been blown. Moody, as the meeting began, he brought the meeting to order. And the first thing he did is he offered a confession. And this is what he said. Friends, before beginning tonight, I want to confess that I yielded just now to my temper out in the hall, and I've done wrong. Just before coming in here, I lost my temper with a man, and I want to confess my wrong before you all. And if the man is present here whom I thrust away in my anger, I want to ask his forgiveness and God's. And they say, instead of that service being a lost cause, the meeting was unusually touched by God. Confession and prayer are directly related to healing. To admit we're wrong takes humility. And when we're humble, and when we humble ourselves, it brings us close to God. I need but to touch the hem of His garment. Joshua said it like this to Achan, give, I pray thee, glory to God and make confession unto him and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Two things. God gets the glory. We find here God gets the glory and make confession unto God and tell me. Confession. There's a special grace from God that comes on a person when he is honest and open. If you want God's healing and grace, humility is what brings it into our lives. Tonight, fathers, it starts with us. We are the men of the home. It starts with us. Will we reach out and touch the hem of His garment? Will we draw the circle and step inside that circle until God can present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable? Will you invest in your marriage? Will you take an interest in your marriage? Will you invest time and prayer into your marriage until it is marked with peace and harmony? Will you invest in your marriage until your wife feels provided for and secure under your leadership? It is possible, by the way. Fathers, will you take an intense interest in the welfare of your home, bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Children who are taught and trained well in the things of the Lord. Children who are respectful, walking in your footsteps, catching your vision of the kingdom of God. Both my grandpas on either side of my family were drunkards. On my father's side, my father's father, my grandpa, on that side, he used to go and drink at the bar. His children were teenagers. My aunts were teenagers. There was a whole row of them. And one day, as my grandpa got in the car, and they knew where he's going to go, his oldest daughters walked out the lane, to the end of the lane ahead of him. And when he come driving out the lane, they made a human chain across the lane. My grandfather drove up to his daughters and stopped. And they stood there and they looked at each other. And my grandfather put the car in reverse, went back and parked it, and didn't go to the bar again. Fathers, we need to be the leaders. We're the ones that need to lead our family. We're the ones that need to step up to the plate. We need to be the first one falling on our knees, not our children. We need to bring ourselves and we need to bring our family and touch the hem of his garment. It is so easy to blame it on others. Will we repent? Will we make confession? Will we seek God until we find healing for our own lives and the lives of our family? Ladies, mothers, will you draw that circle? Will you step inside that circle? And will you pray for yourself until you also are marked as one that is holy, unblameable, and unreprovable? You play such an important part. Will you draw that circle? Will you get inside that circle? And will you plead, if but you could touch the hem of his garment? Will you pray with the rest of us, Lord, open my eyes that I might see? Will you allow God to make you perfectly whole in your personal relationship with God, your position as a helpmeet, your place in the lives of your children? Will you pray? Will you seek God with all your heart? Young people, children, it's easy to look at the faults of others, but that opens no grace in our lives. No grace in our lives. Remember, God can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Luke 5:17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It was there, but it didn't reach many of them. How sad. It was there, but it didn't reach many of them. Young people, will you also draw that circle and get inside that circle and pray until God makes you holy, unreprovable, and unblameable in his sight? For all of us, it is in touching the hem of his garment that is where virtue flows out. Not literally touching the hem of his garment, but spiritually touching God. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. How many of us have flown in an airplane, and as they go over the rules of flying, and they get to the place where they talk about if the cabin would, however they say that, it would lose pressure, then the mass, oxygen mass would come down, And they tell you that before you help the person beside you, put the mask on yourself first. It's a good spiritual analogy. We really can't help someone else until we've touched the hem of his garment. Let's ask ourselves this evening, have I thoroughly dealt with my own issues? Have I spent time praying for the person before going and talking to them? Have I thoroughly washed my soul in prayer? There is a time to talk to others. I just like that verse in Mark 14. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, Jesus is here. The power of God is here to heal. When they had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched them were made perfectly whole. There is power to heal. And as many touched the hem of his garment were made perfectly whole. There was a neighbor moved into our community just in the last few years. She lived by herself. We got to know her. She came to some of our small cell group meeting Bible studies we had. And she talked about her husband, who was a junkie living in one of the southwestern states, who it was said of lived under a bridge and drank vodka by the gallons. One day, he touched the hem of his garment, and the man became whole. He moved back to Pennsylvania to his wife. They renewed their marriage vows. And they lived together. But he fell off the wagon recently here. So addicted to drink. Dear family in our congregation reached out to him. And they tried so hard to help him. He would finally commit himself to some kind of a program, because we were at a loss how to help him. I'm convinced today that it only needs to be the touch of his garment. Just the touch of his garment. God wants to make him whole. God wants to make you whole. God wants to make your families whole. God wants to make the church whole. When the folks had knowledge of him, they went on to all the country, brought in all those that were diseased, that they might but touch the hem of his garment. And my appeal tonight would be, will you reach out and touch the hem of his garment? I don't know you. I don't know you very well. It all looks so good. It looks like he's got everything in order. It looks like your homes are happy homes. It looks like you have touched the hem of his garment. There's a possibility that there might be someone sitting in here. Who knows? Who knows? I am not holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And all I would like tonight is to be one of these men who had knowledge of him. And they went to all the country round about. And they brought all that were diseased. Come, I know where you can get help. Come, follow me. And they besought that they would just touch the hem of his garment. And I can just imagine as those men brought in these sick people and said, Jesus, it's okay. Just allow this person to touch the hem of your garment. Just allow this person to touch the hem of your garment. So if there is someone here, I just make an appeal. If we could just by faith reach out and touch the hem of his garment and be made perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. Completely whole. There is power to heal, and as many as touch the hem of his garment were made perfectly whole. Let's pray together, Heavenly Father, as we spend a number of services together here, and just thinking about the home and thinking about the church. It's a sad, hurting world out there. There are so many people that need to touch the hem of your garment. But it does come closer home. Even our loved ones. Even our family. Even our church family. And when the men had knowledge of Jesus, they went into all the country round about, bringing all those that were diseased, that they might but touch the hem of his garment, and they were made perfectly whole. I just ask, Father, that you will continue to have that touch on my life, and on my wife, and my children. As I look back at 30 years ago, and how you orchestrated my life, and got me off of that certain collision course. I just appeal again tonight. Me first, Lord. I have a need of healing. Just ask that you would bless each one that is here tonight. And may we find that touch will make us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in your sight. May you receive all the honor and the glory. Forgive us where we run hither, thither, and yon. Bring us into our prayer closet. Help us to draw that circle, to get inside that circle and pray until revival begins inside that circle. Thank you. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Might just mention that Saturday evening I would like to preach a message specifically for the youth. There's a lot of youth there, and I would have a God laid a message on my heart for you specifically. So God bless you, and may we all together encourage one another to touch the hem of his garment.